ready?
Recording in progress.
Well, welcome this evening. I call to order the City Council meeting of the City of Atascadero and ask Councilmember Darris to lead us in a pledge to the flag. Thank you. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo.
Here.
Councilmember Darris.
Here.
Councilmember Newsom.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Here.
Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Well, if you're attending here in person, a few of you are, we welcome you. If you're on the webinar, listening on KPRL 1230, watching on 20, YouTube, all the various ways, we welcome you this evening and so glad that you are participating. If you are listening and don't have access to Zoom and would like to call in to the City Council meeting to comment during community forum or public comment on any of the items on the agenda, I'm going to give you the phone number. But before I do, just know that you can also go to atascadero.org, download the council agenda, and all that information is on the very first page. So the phone number is 669 area code 900-6833. Again, that's 669-900-6833. And when you call in, you'll be asked for a meeting ID. And the meeting ID you will use is 889-2347-9018. Once again, the meeting ID is 99889. Let me say that again, 889-2347-9018. Thank you so much. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
I move approval of the agenda.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbo and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. We will waive the reading in full of all ordinances appearing on this agenda, and the titles of the ordinances will be read aloud by the city clerk at the first reading after the motion and before the city council votes. Roll call, please.
Mayor Moreno, apologies. Really quick, I just wanted to mention, you probably noticed at the dais there was a little packet that referenced an update to Exhibit A for the resolution for item B1. I just, for the public, wanted to let them know that there is an update to that exhibit. We have made that available to the council at the dais. We placed it in the back at the public review book, and we've also put it on the website. So we have had to update that exhibit to correctly reflect the number of parcels and the rates.
All right. Do you need the motion for the agenda to reflect that?
No, I just wanted to note that. It's just an update to the item that's there. We're not changing anything.
All right. Thank you.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. And before we move on, I want to welcome back and introduce, if you don't already know him, our interim chief of police, Joe Allen. Joe Allen was with us for many years and retired a few years back as a commander, and we're glad to have him back for this interim position. So welcome, Chief. Anything you wanted to say? No. All right. He's dressed in a, he tells me, a rented suit. He's got to be back by midnight. So looking snazzy there, looking sharp. All right. Moving on to the consent calendar. The consent calendar contains items that are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and can be voted on in one motion unless there's a member of the council or a public wishing to pull an item. So I will look to my council members and see if there's anyone wishing to pull an item. I will be pulling item number four for a separate vote. Is there any member of the public? I will ask on Zoom to raise your hand if there's an item you'd like to pull. I don't see anyone on the phone right now, and Luke can always correct me if I'm not seeing that. Anyone here in the chambers? Not. So I would ask for a motion on items one through three.
I'll move approval of the consent calendars, items A1, 2, and 3.
I'll second.
A motion by Councilmember Bourbeau, a second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Item four is I will be recusing myself. The California State Legislature recently passed a law that says any elected official that receives a donation in excess of $250 must recuse her or himself from voting on any particular item if that happened in the last 12 months. And so I am recusing myself from item number four because of that. And so I am going to go in the back room and close the door, and our Mayor Pro Tem will take over on that item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We'll give her a moment to get closed. Okay. Do I have a motion for approval of item number four on the consent calendar?
Well, if there's no public comment, I'll move approval of A4.
I'll second.
Okay.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, if you could alert the mayor that she can come back in. And we thank everyone for bearing with us as we all work to maintain compliance with all the applicable rules to keep things on the up and up.
All right, thank you very much. We will move on to our updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. It is summer, so we have a lot going on, a lot of fun events. I am going to start with Saturdays in the park. So most Saturday evenings through August, the City of Atascadero proudly presents the annual Saturday in the Park concert series at Atascadero Lake Park Bandstand. These concerts start at 6:30 p.m. So this Saturday, everyone wants to know who's going to be here this Saturday. We're going to enjoy Club DV8 as they bring high-energy 80s music that you know and love. That's my era there. And July 8th will be a fun evening with Rockin' Bees Band with country, rock, and dance music. Make sure to bring your low back chair or blanket and bring your wallet for food purchases from our vendors. Make a day of it and get to the park early to enjoy the Charles Paddock Zoo, a ride on the paddle boats or surrey bikes at Mr. Petter's Boathouse, an afternoon of fishing, a picnic, or all of the above. It's great. Our lake park's amazing during the summer. Come out and enjoy it and the concerts. And we have the 4th of July coming up, so I want to just remind everybody that as you celebrate a safe 4th of July, that fireworks are prohibited in the city of Atascadero. If anyone is caught lighting or in possession of any fireworks, including safe and sane fireworks, in the city limits, they will be cited and fined. The City of Atascadero Fire and Emergency Services wishes the community members a memorable 4th of July and requests a common-sense, safe celebration and a fire-free holiday. So please, please be careful. No fireworks here in Atascadero. We also have the 4th of July Music Festival. So this is the Atascadero 4th of July Music Festival. It is also free, and it's a safe opportunity to celebrate. The event is from 4 to 8 p.m. at Atascadero Lake Park. There will be food and adult beverages for purchase, plus three bands. So if you wish to be closer to the music, there will be a VIP admission fee. Bands include Bluegrass by Actual Grass, Country and Rock with Four on the Floor Dance Band, and, of course, the Atascadero Community Band. I heard them practicing the other night as I was walking around the lake. They are sounding really good this year. So the event is a fundraiser for Colony Days and a perfect way to spend the evening. Great way to spend your 4th of July, please. We also have First Friday on July 7th at 6 p.m. Continuing through the first week of July, First Friday's returns on July 7th in the downtown. The evening will feature the Soul Effect Band on stage on West Mall in Palma, closest to Historic City Hall. There will be three food vendors offering concert fare for purchase from Mary's Cuisine, Zen Dog, and Paradise Shaved Ice. and plan for a fun evening both before and after the band with all the restaurants, drink establishments, and entertainment in the downtown. It's a great reason to get out of the house, enjoy the beautiful Atascadero evening, and enjoy the free event. First Fridays are a lot of fun, and there's a lot to do in our downtown. Come check it out if you haven't done so. On July 15th, we will be having an ice cream zoofari, so cool down with the Charles Paddock Zoo on Saturday, July 15th, from 5:30 until 8 p.m., and this is the 20th annual ice cream zoofari. So we're excited to offer the new ice cream shop. Oh, boy, I can never say it, but they're really good. They're in the Kmart Center, La Michoacana Ice. Incredible ice cream, by the way. If you haven't been there, go check it out. They're located in the Kmart Shopping Center, and they will be serving over 15 flavors available to sample, among other goodies and sugar-free options, too. It's a great way to enjoy a new business and one of our warm summer evenings with an ice cream-filled event at Charles Paddock Zoo. And please, thank you to our sponsors this year. Presenting sponsor is Pure Pediatric Dentistry. And we have our supporting sponsors, Barley and Boar Kitchen and Brew House, Atascadero Rotary Club, Five Star Rain Gutters, and friend sponsor Mechanics Bank. It's a lot of fun. It's great to be out there on a warm July evening, having as much ice cream as you would like. It's a little dangerous there. Get to see all the animals. It's a fun time. And then a very big event that we have going on July 10th. I want to invite all of the community to come out to our oath of office for incoming city manager, Jim Lewis. Mark your calendar. It's going to be July 10th at 10 a.m. on the steps of Historic City Hall. Jim will be sworn into office here in Atascadero. We want everybody to come welcome him, come say hi, meet the new city manager. It'll be a great opportunity for that, and we're excited to have Jim come on board. Jim will actually be coming on board July 1st. We'll be overlapping for a little bit, and then I will be retiring, but we're so excited to have Jim. So, and with that, I have one more item. I'm getting a lot of questions regarding item number 4 on your council agenda. We just rejected the bids for the downtown paving project. There's a lot of questions on when will that project occur, or what does that mean, how is that going to affect the businesses. So I'm going to have Nick just give a very brief update on what we can expect in the coming months.
Thank you, Rochelle. Yeah, with the consent item, rejecting the single bid we had for the downtown paving project, staff will reevaluate repackaging that project. Based on what we heard from contractors that did bid the project, and more importantly, those that did not, it was that it was a quick time turnaround. We had restricted hours around the school during school. So during the summer, there would not be restricted hours, but it was a quick turnaround. All the contractors, more importantly, are super busy. The paving contractors are just crazy busy right now, still doing storm repairs and those types of things. So we want to try to look at repackaging that, reevaluate. Most likely, we're going to have it in two phases. One, a concrete phase where the sidewalk improvements, there's 15 ramp repairs, and then a second project phase that we would bid out for the asphalt work that would occur later this fall. Right now, we're looking at maybe the August meeting awarding a concrete phase one project, and that would begin sometime maybe late summer and late August, early September. I do realize anytime you work in the downtown, you're going to be impacting businesses. And we will work with a contractor to make sure all businesses always have access to their front door. Parking will be impacted during the street project and also during the water company's project right now, too. They're going to begin replacing a 100-year-old water main in Entrada between El Camino and Lewis. That work is slated to begin on July 5th, and they are going to restrict how much trench they're going to have open during that project. John Neal informs me that they're expecting maybe up to a six-week project, so it's going to be pretty slow going, but no water will be cut off to any businesses or anything else. Where that water alignment will be, one row of that angled parking on Entrada will be impacted, but the other side will remain open. And as I mentioned, only about 100 feet of that parking will be impacted. So those questions should be directed to the water company, but, we're free to answer any questions as well. So with our paving project, probably sometime late summer, early fall, maybe early September for the concrete portion, and then later on, about a month later, for the asphalt portion. So that might go into the winter, might go into the spring. We'll just have to see what weather brings. So, and I can take any questions that you have on that.
Thank you, Director and City Manager. Yeah, I think a lot of unknowns, and doing the best we can to get the best bang for our taxpayer dollars in terms of getting those roads paved and the curb and gutter and things the way it needs to be for accessibility. So, yeah, thank you for that. Any questions? Susan, go ahead. Mark?
Just with regard to the water main project that is happening in the summer where the kids are not there, but it's also a really busy time for the businesses. Do I understand correctly that there are physical constraints like the water table that would prevent the water company from doing this at any other time other than the summer?
There is a high water table, so especially this past winter, I'm sure that came way, way up. Water mains are often, up to 5 feet deep, so, it's very likely that water main was in the water table. But as it drops down, it'll, be a lot quicker. They won't have to dewater the trench and things along those lines as well. So, yeah, it's probably likely they didn't start it until that. That might be part of the reason.
So that's one of the reasons, that and plus the adverse bid that we got that we rejected just now are reasons that we can't coordinate these two projects.
Right. They typically do their own work with their own contractor, and then we don't usually incorporate a lot of that water main work into our work. So, and our bids were almost double what we estimated. We did receive the F-14 bid for the summer, and we did put out an addendum that gave some flexibility with the notice to proceed, and probably the contractor that got the job informed me that addendum probably saved the city $1 million. So that did come in within our estimate, so we're happy to report, and that'll be on your next meeting.
Great. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to comment on the Saturday in the park. I had the privilege of, or the pleasure, I should say, of attending last week's. It was a great turnout, perfect weather, a lot of fun. So if you haven't been there, please go. They're fun. I hope I can go to this next one on Saturday. Sounds like a great band. So thanks for setting these up. Terry, appreciate that.
All right, see no other questions. Thank you very much. So one more city manager report to go. Is that a smiling face or what? Soon-to-retire face is just not going away on Rochelle. Well-deserved. We're on to community forum. Community forum is a portion of our agenda where any member of the public wishing to speak to the council on an item that is not on our agenda tonight but over which we have jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we set aside a total of up to 30 minutes for community forum. When you do either come to the podium or if you're on Zoom, you can raise your hand with that raise hand icon at the bottom of the screen, and we ask that you state your name for the record if that helps us, and we will head on to community forum. Welcome to our first speaker. I think we need to turn you on here. Hold on.
Atascadero resident. I'm here to publicly express my gratitude for our city manager, Rochelle Rickard. It has been an honor and a pleasure to be able to work with you over just you know, public issues over the past several years, you have always exhibited grace, kindness, respect, a calm demeanor, good humor, and I just wanted to publicly say how grateful I am for the work you have done on behalf of our city. We are better for it. Thank you.
No, these aren't supposed to be, you know, commented on by council, but you're just going to hear five dittos and then some, so thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak here at Community Forum? If you're in the Zoom webinar and would like to, go ahead and raise your hand, raise hand icon. Let's see, I'm not seeing anyone. Last chance here for Community Forum. Any members? All right, we'll go ahead and close.
I was gonna say Heather Branton was smart to avoid the rush from next, you know, yeah. Avoid the rush for next
right.
time.
Yeah, next 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today will be a much longer one, but a good lead up for sure. All right, we'll go ahead and close the community forum and bring that back to the council, and we will move on to our public hearing, public hearing of adopting sewer charges to be added to the 23-24 property tax rolls. I'll look to my council members if there's any ex parte. Seeing none, I will turn this over to our Public Works Director, Mr. Nick DeBar.
Thank you, Mayor Moreno. Let's see if I can. There we go. So this item tonight is an item we always bring back around this time, and it is to have the council consider adopting sewer service charges to be added to the 2023-24 property tax rolls. This meeting is really not, you know, to object to the rates or anything like that, but it's just, you know, to public hearing would be to object to or answer questions on anything with putting or levying those on those assessments onto property taxes. Sewer service charges are fixed rates and they are collected with property taxes, so we do not bill based on, you know, winter water consumption like many cities do, because we're not the water public water purveyor. This year there's there's 5,554 parcels, and the assessments total to about a little over $4.7 million. Residents that are connected to the sewer, and keep in mind only about half of the parcels in town are connected to the city sewer. The others are septic or undeveloped. But we'll see on their property tax statement, ATAS sewer charge. And the county deadline for us to submit this is July 20th. And as years pass, the county does charge the city $2 for each one of these entries. I just want to show this one more time, just so folks know where we just recently raised the rates, and a lot of the our neighboring cities are doing the same thing, but we still remain some of the lowest rates in the area. So really, tonight, conduct a public hearing to receive verbal testimony regarding the public proposed sewer service charges to be levied onto property tax rolls. And then secondly, adopt the draft resolution approving sewer service charges to be added to the 2023-24 property tax rolls. And I, as City Clerk mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, there was an updated attachment or Exhibit A to the resolution that was placed on your desk before the meeting. So with that, I can turn it back to you, Mayor Moreno.
Thank you, Director. And if it sounds to any of you like we've talked about this a few times already this year, we have. and the nice thing about that is in addition to mailing all of those who are affected, we talk about this publicly multiple times, and so it gives the public numerous opportunities to weigh in. With that, I will look to council members if there are any questions we have. Seeing none, I will open it up to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to speak on this item? Any virtual callers or members of the community? I'm not seeing any. Last chance. All right, we'll close public comment and bring that back to council. Does the motion need to include this updated exhibit, or have you done that at the beginning, and so the a motion just on this item is sufficient?
Since that is your new exhibit, we're good. So as long as they we get a motion with that, we're
wonderful.
Good to go.
Yep, thank you.
So to be safe, I'll say we adopt the draft resolution approving the sewer service charges to be added to the property tax rolls based on the amended list provided.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbeau, a second by Councilmember Darris. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. On to our second public item, and that is Community Facilities District 2005-1, Annexation Number 25. I will look to my council members. Any ex parte on this particular item? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and turn that over to Community Development Director, Mr. Phil Densmore.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is that process that we've become familiar with over the last few years, which is known as the Community Facilities District Annexation. And this particular one involves the Marketplace Project, which is the project that's now developing at the corner of Del Rio and El Camino Real. So just a little background on the process and really in general the CFD. The Community Facilities District number 2005-1 was actually originally established in May of 2005. State allows the formation of these districts to provide a mechanism to really assess new properties that will receive services, really to try and keep us fiscally balanced in our community. This particular project was given a condition of approval when it went through the review process to be fiscally neutral through that process, through this CFD process that we're initiating tonight. It's known as Annexation 25. This is number 25 of these that we've done in the city of Atascadero. Again, it's that Marketplace Project. We're really excited to see this project. It's coming along. This CFD will essentially primarily address the residential portions of this project and be set at zero for some of the commercial. It's kind of interesting how that works. So it was back in May of this year, the City Council actually approved the intent to annex resolution. That's the first step in this process, which established the boundary, set a date for tonight's hearing for this annexation, and then that boundary was actually already recorded at the county recorder's office. So a little bit of a process. I'm going to go through this process. I'm going to conclude to answer your questions, and then I'm going to engage our city clerk, Laura, to give us a little help go through this formal process. But essentially how it's going to work, just to remind you all, is we would open the public hearing, we close the public hearing and consider Resolution A, which is to establish the annexation. We close the hearing, then the landowner election is held. A city clerk will then announce the results of the vote. Then the city council certifies the election and introduces for first reading the draft ordinance A, which authorizes the special taxes for this annexation number 25. And that concludes my presentation, but I'm here to answer your questions, and otherwise we can go back to the process when we're ready. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. I will look to Council to see if there are any questions on this item. Seeing none, I will go ahead and open up the public forum on this item. Any member wishing to speak, go ahead, come to the podium or raise your hand in the Zoom webinar. I'm not seeing anyone on the phone. Is that correct, Luke? Okay. Anyone wishing to speak? All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public comment period. And if there are no council comments, I'll ask for a motion to approve Draft Resolution A.
I'll move approval of Draft Resolution A.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbeau and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
We will now give the city clerk a moment to count the ballots for the annexation. Oh. All right. It sounds like we are good to go. So I think that the vote was a yay. So I will, if there are no council comments, ask for a motion to approve draft resolution B and introduce the draft ordinance, which is recommendations 4 and 5.
I'm sorry, did the clerk tell us the results?
Yeah, it was all 13 votes were yes.
She gave a thumbs up. Which is why I said it was all A-OK, but it's probably better that Laura actually say.
All 100% yes.
All in favor, yes. Yes.
Then
Mr. Pyrrhic jump on the line any moment and say, what on earth is going on here?
Then I will move we adopt draft resolution B, declaring the results, and introduce for first reading a draft ordinance implementing that.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbeau, a second by Councilmember Darris. Roll call, please, after the clerk reads the title of the draft ordinance.
An ordinance of the City Council of the City of Atascadero, California, authorizing the levy of special taxes in Community Facilities District Number 2005-1, Public Services, including certain annexation territory. Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We are on to our first management report, and that is the irrevocable right of to use agreement for broadband infrastructure. Yay! And we will turn this over to our Deputy Director of Economic and Community Development, Lorelei Capel.
Thank you very much. Let me go ahead and pull up my slides. Okay, thank you, everybody. I'm very excited to be here this evening. We've talked about this topic quite a bit in the last year, and we've made a lot of progress and momentum, but this all stems from our 2021-2023 action plan. Council prioritized broadband enhancement as a key priority. We will be taking a huge leap forward in implementation of the broadband North County Broadband Strategic Plan, which we adopted in April of 2023 in conjunction with Paso Robles. So this was a regional infrastructure, broadband infrastructure strategy. This project created an action plan that called for everything from focusing on policy changes that can happen at the city level, digital inclusion for some of our folks in our community that need assistance or access to broadband or even the equipment to utilize broadband. And this really focuses on broadband infrastructure. So this is one of the pieces of our physical infrastructure. So this IRU, in essence, catalyzes the market entry of an additional internet service provider, which is Astound Broadband LLC, who is here with us this evening. This expands customer choice, which can positively impact cost. It widens our fiber network and upgrades speeds. So ultimately, this allows Atascadero to step forward as a gigabit city with a new partner. And with that, I'll kind of go through the summarized recommendation. This is a little different than the staff report recommendation. We put some different language in as we'd like a little bit of opportunity to finalize the attachments and mapping pieces of the final IRU. This is a draft IRU that you see as attachment A or attachment one. So we are recommending that council authorize the city manager to execute an agreement substantially in the form of the accompanying attachment one with Astound Broadband for the irrevocable right to use, in other words, IRU, for a fiber network for broadband infrastructure with 10 gigabytes per second internet access connection maintained by Astound. Just about a little bit about the community impact that I started in on. This will bring new internet service provider. It improves our speeds and reliability. Our speeds will be up at 10 gigabits per second for the city's fiber closed fiber loop. That is a secure loop that will not diminish our broadband speeds as a city. This actually yields a savings of $65,000 for our annual internet service. We're currently paying $70,000 a year, and we will be, in essence, leasing this fiber, using this fiber for $5,000 a year from Astound. This connects additional communication sites for improved emergency services communication, specifically our 911 calls, and that kind of opens up our fiber network and expands it. And of course, we will be using some of the dollars that council has already set aside through our Diablo 1090 funds and our general fund for broadband services. Kind of covered this, but these are the three pieces from our strategic plan. This is the next step after we've negotiated. This is part of the negotiation process of one, which could be of many partners that help us light up our city. So this is just one agreement. We can do these, whatever we need to do to completely canvas our entire city over the next, you know, couple years. But this is a huge step forward. This is a big partnership. I'm introducing a new participant that has never served, you know, our community in this capacity. So this is very exciting for us. And really, this kind of forwards these last pieces here, concept proposal discussions, MOUs or agreement in this form of an IRU, and then ISP gigabit deployment. And finally, you know, this is a really big upgrade for our community and being competitive and serving our new businesses and our residents. So Astound used to be Digital West, which served primarily business users, but Astound and that connection now serves our residential clients as well. So we will be able to rely on them to use some of this kind of to boost off and start looping our neighborhoods eventually and serving as people and subscribe to their service. So this is a very exciting piece, and we'll meet our growing demands for our high speeds in our community as we advance into this digital age, which is not going backwards. So with that, I'd love to answer any questions.
Thank you, Lorelei, and really appreciate the work that you've done and your collaboration with PASO to accomplish everything that we have so far. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And so I think what we're seeing is we're going to invest $1.3 million and over 30 years save just under $2 million.
That's correct.
And serve 11 sites for the city versus 7 sites for the city.
That is correct. Mm-hmm.
And better service than we've had.
At a much higher speed. We're
talking
10 gigabytes.
Sounds like an amazing deal. Yeah. And you hit on something that I think we probably are all wondering about, and I'll ask our city manager. This is a great first step that we're looking at the city, but a lot of what we've been talking about, obviously, is the digital equity for all and how do we help our businesses and students and homeowners and everybody. So what does that look like in the future?
So the way I look at this is that Astound is interested into expanding into the city of Atascadero. What this is the city signing up as one of the first customers. So they know that as they put in their infrastructure, they have a very large customer that is already in contract for 30 years, that will help them go, yes, hey, we're sure that we're going to get a large enough customer base as we move here into Atascadero. So by the city being the first customer, they know they have that in the bag. That gives them the freedom to expand throughout the city. Obviously, these 11 sites that they're going to be connecting are throughout the city. They will have to bring fiber to those 11 sites for us to use that fiber. And I would imagine that they will be offering that fiber to other customers along the way, not our dark fiber, but other strands of it. And so we're basically their first customer as they expand into this area.
Wonderful. Thank you for explaining that. All right, I will look to council for questions on this item. And I do see Maria Kelly here, who's with the Pacific Broadband Consortium, does work with them and has done a lot of independent work, but she's worked with them, she's worked with us. She is really, she knows this inside and out. So I know if there's any questions that any of us have, I'm sure Lorelei can answer them, but if we want even more detail, I see Maria here. So with that, I will look to council. Any questions that we have? Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Thank you. Yes, I did. I won't go through all the questions. But staff was very good about working through a number of them. Just wanted to check. We would have the capacity under this agreement to expand it to, you know, at an agreeable price to additional locations, say Fire Station 3 on the north end of town, when that becomes a site that's stabilized.
Yes, absolutely. The contract does call for our ability to add new sites. There's a whole section that does apply for that, and what the city will pay and what Astound is willing to pay. So that's all covered here in the contract.
Okay. And I assume that there's plenty of capacity with this so that the Astound will be able to sell to lots of other customers who are in the vicinity of any of these facilities.
That is my understanding. We don't know exactly what their project looks like. This is their project, not ours. But I would imagine that they're going to want to put plenty of capacity so that they can reach as many customers as possible. That is a good business model to do so.
Okay. Yes. And consistent with that, while the folks who live outside our city boundaries don't vote for us, they often are very important customers and friends of our community. And I presume that, is it safe to assume that the business would not be would be able to sell outside the city boundaries off the using these connections established in this under this agreement?
Absolutely. So any provider of internet services, they're not bound by jurisdictional lines or any of that. So they would have to follow the county's process. They wouldn't get our $0 fiber installation fee, but they would follow the county's process to install in there in the county.
Okay. And just checking. If in the section on underlying rights, section 10.2, there's a statement that Astound shall use commercially reasonable efforts to minimize any service interruptions to the customer, i.e., to the city. And since we only have a $5,000 a year cost, that's probably not a huge commercially reasonable incentive. Is it safe to assume that the business interests of the customer in maintaining of the company in maintaining service to other people on this in the same sort of sets of strands of fiber would be sufficient to suggest that over the decades of this agreement that the company is likely to want to keep giving us good service?
I will perhaps have caller Carl Berger, who's from Burke Williams Sorensen, address that a little bit more. On the underlying rights, that's only in relation to relocation. It's not a broader. We did talk substantially with our attorneys and with others on what rights we do have to make sure that fiber is maintained, and I might have Carl just talk a little bit more about that.
That would be helpful to broaden the question.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Thanks for allowing me to give my insight on this. So with regard to 10.1, commercially reasonable efforts, that's quite frankly what every internet provider would state. They're not going to use extraordinary means to try to provide services. So that's really their safe harbor, if you will, to make sure that the customer understands that, yes, it's going to do everything reasonably necessary in order to provide you with service, but it's not going to go above and beyond that commercially reasonable effort. It's going to be better, I would expect, than your home residential service, which all of us can get frustrated with at some point, certainly based upon the investment that the city is making. So that's really what that particular language means. I'm happy to answer any other questions with regard to the contract, but that's the underlying reason for this particular language.
The other question I have that is both about the contract and the technology, we are entering into a 30-year agreement. It does have a 20-year payback, or less for the city. So, it's financially a reasonable deal over a period of time. But a lot can change in technology in the course of 30 years. Are we reasonably protected for this being a 30-year contract?
We are, as much as I think that is commercially reasonable, again, going back to that language within the contract. Each side, the customer, that being the city, and a stand is each responsible for its own connection points. So generally speaking, every 18 months, there's a new generation of technology that comes out. Obviously, for the city and also for a stand, there's going to be a greater investment. But just as a marketplace reality, there is an 18-month sort of generational change with regard to technology. So at some point, the city is going to have to make a determination whether or not its side of the connection meets the current technological expectations of both the city and its and the people that use it. For example, we put in language in there to emphasize that if folks were using the library or using police station that were not necessarily public employees, but were using the resources for the city, they could access all of these lines also as part of their city services. So we wanted to make sure that that was accessible to the public if they were on public property accessing all of this. But the reason I bring that in is, as you well know, when you go to some public facilities that are not controlled by the city of Atascadero, sometimes they have not kept up with that 18-month model that I was discussing. So at some point, the city will have to reexamine whether or not its technology for accessing all of this great broadband is still viable and desirable. And you may have to do additional infrastructure investment at that point. But that's on the city's side and has little to do with this particular contract. Astound has the same obligations, and it's going to have to maintain its own technological determinations with regard to whether or not its services are up to snuff, so to speak, on a marketplace scale.
Sounds good. Not every place is blessed to have the exceptional technology team that we have here with the city. Thank you.
That's true.
Seeing no other questions, we'll go ahead and open up public comment on this item. Any member of the public wishing to speak, please come forward. And if you're in the Zoom webinar, go ahead and raise your hand, pressing that raise hand icon at the bottom of the screen. All right. First speaker, welcome.
My name is Michael.
Is that on?
Are we on here?
Could you check that, Commander?
Hi, my name is Michael Thomas. Okay. I am a 24-plus year employee of Astound, and I've been an Atascadero resident for most of that period of time, and I have spent 24 years deploying systems like what we are looking at this evening in other communities, and then I come home and I have to deal with what we have available in our area. And I certainly look forward to Madam Mayor and the members and the staff working with us to bring what we have to offer into this community so I can take advantage of it myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Next speaker.
Maria Kelly, Atascadero resident. I'm here as a resident this evening, and I would really like to compliment you for using your SB 1090 monies for exactly what it was supposed to be used for. Years ago, when it was given to all the communities, I said every single one of these communities should be investing in broadband. Here we are several years later doing exactly what that money was intended to do. To not only enhance economic development, but to your point regarding digital equity and inclusion, which in my other hat I am working on fiercely in North County, but also throughout the county to work on, you know, beefing up our ecosystem and meeting with organizations, because it really is about partnerships, and the city taking on this active role in ensuring some infrastructure and policy is a very important piece of that digital equity and inclusion. The fact that you were willing to step out, get that data collection, puts you in total alignment with priorities at the state and with the federal announcement of almost $1.9 billion of investments for California yesterday morning. So kudos to the city, but also very excited to see this moving forward, and compliments on using your SB 1090 monies the way they should be.
Thank you, Maria. Next speaker.
I'm Jeff Buckingham with Astound, and you know, I've been in competitive telecommunications on the Central Coast since 1983, and we've wanted to do projects like this, and it's so exciting to be able to put this together, particularly as quickly, and the model that is being used here is one that I think really fits well for the use of the money and what it's going to allow for the community. You know, when Tim Williams and I made the decision to work with Astound, this is why we did it. You know, we did it so that we could bring broadband to the Central Coast. And, you know, it's worked very well in Grover Beach, which was kind of the first gigabit city, and Morro Bay, which is really the second, and now, you know, setting up for Atascadero to be the third. And we're really excited about that. So just, you know, and it's particularly nice to be able to do this before Rochelle finishes her term as city manager, because we've been trying to figure out how to do this for so long. So just really excited about this on our side. We're looking forward to really being able to put out a lot of broadband here in Atascadero. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. And I see Ryan in the Zoom webinar. If we could bring him on.
Hello.
Yes.
Just confirming. Yeah, so my name is Ryan Erbstoster, and I live on the north end of town. It's very exciting to know you guys are considering the fiber. I am in the tech industry, and feel like Charter has kind of been our only option, so I'm definitely looking forward to more options out there. And I may be out of the loop, so I do apologize. Has it been considered discussing also with other fiber companies such as Verizon or whatnot, or perhaps I missed the decision deciding on Astound?
Well, I'll take down your question and we'll answer them at the end of public comments. So we've got that. Are there any other questions or comments that you have?
The only other thing would just be the 30-year agreement. You know, that may be an industry standard, I'm not sure, but, you know, analyzing that in terms of if, you know, locking in for 30 years, that's an extremely long time, especially in tech world. So, you know, if a 5-year agreement or 10-year agreement would make more sense so that we don't completely lock ourselves in with one provider and not have an option to upgrade at a future time. That would be another comment.
Okay, you still have some time. Any other questions or comments that you have?
That'll be all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Anyone else who wishes to speak on this item, please come forward or raise your hand in the webinar. I'm not seeing anyone, so last call. I do see Mr. Williams. You don't have to come on, but if you wanted to say something, you could. there he is.
Good evening. Can you guys hear me?
We can.
Okay. Hey, thanks very much. It's been a pleasure to listen to the questions and to hear the city manager explain what we're doing. And it's been a pleasure, as Jeff said, to bring this to the community. Good questions tonight. You know, I would like to emphasize that while this did begin with the North County project, Atascadero truly has stepped up and moved much quicker. So you guys win, I think. That's really the key there. I also wanted to thank you, too, for making some changes in your permitting process so the broadband providers, us included, but also anyone else that wanted to come to the community, has a much easier way of making that happen. We've got, as the city manager said, you are one of the first customers we have. We have huge plans to expand throughout the city, so we're really excited about that part. The caller that called in, too, I think that you know, he said north part of the city. I hope that's somewhere we'll be reaching out to, but we do plan to expand as far reach as we can and potentially hit every home in the area there. And then maybe just to address a question that was brought up earlier too. Yeah, 30 years is a standard. That's something that's brought that we'd use in the industry. An IRU is a tool that we use. It's essentially giving the city, I'm putting air quotes, you can't see me, but ownership of those fiber strands. And IRUs were designed back a while back so that municipalities could actually utilize the fiber of a telecom provider like ourselves. And if in the very strange situation that the telecom provider went bankrupt or there was a problem, the city still actually retains rights and continues to own that fiber. So it's something, it's kind of a protection for the city. Since it's not the electronics, it's actually the fiber. Fiber has been around for far beyond 30 years. And it's the technology on the ends of the fiber, as was discussed earlier, that can be upgraded year after year. So while you're in a long-term agreement, it's kind of like saying, you know, we have access to a brand new street going through our town. The street may get repaved and upgraded, but the street access, the location where it is, that'll always remain and essentially be viable for years and years to come, for decades to come. So I think that this is a really good thing for the community. for the city, and really appreciate working with you and with staff to get this pushed through so quickly. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
I'd be happy to respond to Ryan's comment if when we close public comment.
Yes. Any other member of the public wishing to speak on this item? All right, I am seeing none, so I'll go ahead and close public comment. And in addition, the other question was other companies that were being considered. And I know that when you brought that forward after we did the strategic plan, part of the process was looking, was going out to the ISPs and asking, you know, would you be interested? And Astound is really the one that stepped up. But, Lorelei, if you could answer that question a little more thoroughly.
Yes, we did have a request for information process, and we sent that out to ISPs that are in the area. And we also would look forward to fiber being deployed by Verizon. At this point, they do not have any fiber in the city of Atascadero, but if they were able to, we look forward to as many providers that can help our community and canvas our entire community to get everybody their service as possible. And we will be still looking for grants. We'll be still looking for partnerships. This is not a closed process. This is just one huge step forward and an awesome opportunity for us to bring them. So we look forward to hearing from Verizon if they so choose to reach out to us and deploy fiber in our community.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. This really is exciting. I love hearing how well Atascadero is doing, because we all think we're doing well, but we're in a little bit of a vacuum, and so no. But Maria's out there cheering us on, and I do want to thank the city of Paso Robles and Mayor Martin in particular. He and I we get together often over the years on Friday afternoons and talk about, you know, a lot of the different issues. And one of the things we would always say is, you know, a lot of times we're talking about things, but nothing's happening. And he and I on one of those Friday afternoons said, well, why don't we just start this in the North County? And here we are. And so it's really exciting. And so many of you that have played a role, and I'm really grateful for that regional partnership that we have. So excited to move forward. I would actually like to make this motion, if you don't mind. And so with that, is there any specific wording, Laura, or can I just move staff's recommendation?
I can pull that back up. Let me just
That real quickly. Is it any different than what's here in the agenda?
Yes. It was about that. I closed it.
I thought you had that little change there.
Please hold.
Approve the agreement as amended.
The agreement as amended.
As
we
it
could
was
say
presented
that.
By staff.
As it was presented.
How about
I
can read
minutes.
It? I can read it out. I have it.
Thank you.
So it's council authorized the city manager to execute an agreement substantially in the form accompanying the staff report as attachment one with Astound Broadband for the irrevocable right to use a fiber network for broadband infrastructure with 10 GBS internet access connection maintained by Astound.
I will move what Laura said.
I will second.
We have a motion by Mayor Moreno and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Yay. All right. We are on to number two on the meeting. Yes. Celebrate. On to number our second management report, and that is the Atascadero Transit System Modification. And we'll look to our Public Works Director, Mr. Nick DeBar.
Thank you, Mayor Moreno. It's a little background on Atascadero Dial, right? I know a few of the council members know a lot more than others, maybe more than others, but it's been around since 1979 when the city was incorporated, so it's got a long history. It provides service to all populations, so not just those with special needs, but also just, other folks, everybody that lives in town. It's a curb-to-curb demand response service, which means you can call, make an appointment, they'll pick you up at your home or grocery store, wherever you are, and bring you to a destination anywhere in the city. A few years ago, we expanded our service area to include the Twin Cities hospital corridor, include Trader Joe's, and that's actually been well received by the senior community, who is a big user of our service, and it continues today. So that's been a really good expansion of Dial-A-Ride. Dial-A-Ride is not funded by the general funds. We actually have federally funded monies that come to the city through what's called Transportation Development Act, TDA. And we are a sub-recipient, so we have an agreement with SLOCOG and also through RTA for filing claims for that funding. SLOCOG and RTA is our parent recipient, if you will, does have the requirement to audit us for compliance with TDA regulations. So one of the TDA regulations that we've been working towards is requires a fare box recovery ratio of 14.5%. So this fare box recovery ratio is really defined as the total passenger revenue divided by the total operating expenses each year. If this ratio is not met, TDA rules require that SLOCOG penalize the local transit operator by reducing local transportation funds, the LTF, otherwise known as LTF money. The LTF is actually used, it's actually one of our major funding programs for some of our street projects that we've recently done, including the downtown paving project that we spoke of earlier. This fare box recovery ratio has really been decreasing for a number of years, and it's been very difficult to meet with. Part of the problem is, you know, increasing cost to operate buses and pay people and all of that, and in addition to some reduction in ridership. And we also have quite a few of those riders that have special transportation assistance needs and require or meet our discounted rates. So we do have, for the general rates, the largest rates in of all the county transit providers. So it's $8 if you're outside of the urban line, if you will, and $5 within that line one way. The discounted rates for those are $2.50 and $5, respectively. So we, as I mentioned, it's been reducing each year. We actually, right before COVID hit, we were notified by SLOCOG that we were going to be penalized, and that amount was approximately in the range of like $23,000. And but COVID impacts waived all these fare box recovery ratios, not just for Tascadero Dial-A-Ride, but also RTA and other fixed routes. But those that period is now set to expire, that waive period, as of, you know, next Sunday, I guess. It's July 1st, 2023. So through the 2019 triennial performance audit that SLOCOG performs on our Dial-A-Ride program through those auditing requirements, they did find that we are very efficient. We are providing a critical service to the residents of Tascadero. But they also recommended that we work with SLOCOG to maybe change and modify our service to what's called Article 8 of TDA rules. What this would do is waive the fare box recovery ratio, so we would not be held by that anymore, or possibly penalized by SLOCOG with the reduction of our LTF money. But it does require us to modify our service, and this modification is required our service to would require service to populations requiring special transportation assistance, including seniors, individuals with disabilities, school children, and people with low income. Currently, this is really a big part of our ridership already. So looking at our past records over the last year and a half, there was nobody that fell outside of this category area. Slocog did in June 3rd of 2020 through that triennial performance audit. They went ahead and gave paved the way for us to be able to go to a Title VIII claim and, or with LTF claims under Title VIII. Sorry, Article VIII. A lot of rules here in the transit world. And paving our way. So as I mentioned, a lot of our riders fall underneath this modified service population. There's other door-to-door options for those that do not fall underneath that category, including, you know, Uber, Lyft, various taxi services. And there's also, with that waiving of the fare box recovery ratio, there will be some new operational data that we'll have to collect. That is really no big deal. We collect a lot of this data already, and we'll have to report that to SLOCOG on a quarterly basis. So I know that's a really quick snapshot, but the recommendation tonight is for Council to approve Tascadero Transit Service modifications providing service to populations requiring special transportation assistance and to file claims for funding through local transportation funds under Article 8. And with that, I can take any questions you have.
Thank you, Director. It's obviously a conversation we've had a bit at SLOCOG over the years with regards to the fare box recovery, and we did have a few years back where we did get fined, and we convinced SLOCOG to give us some of it back. And we did, we took those recommendations and we expanded the service, like you said, but that really didn't impact the fare box ratio. So doing everything we could to try to increase that, short of increasing rates, which then does the opposite of what you're trying to do, which is help those who most need transportation. It has been talked about a lot at the with the state legislature. So Gus Corey, who comes to, he is our, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me here.
Lobbyist advocate.
Lobbyist, there we go. Thank you. That word flew out of my head. Our lobbyist advocate who is, you know, trying to, and there are other agencies, of course, that are trying to get the fare box ratio, you know, either permanently or on a longer term basis waived. So what I'm curious about is if that did happen, let's say in a year, fare box recovery went away and that wasn't an issue, is there motivation for us to go back from Article 8 or just stick with that? Because basically that is the population we're currently serving.
Honestly, I don't think there would be much difference if you went back, because really our ridership meets these special, you know, transportation assistance needs, and so I don't think there would be really any reason to go back, but it wouldn't hurt to go back either.
Okay, and it wouldn't be like some long process or hoops that we would need to jump through to do that.
No, it wouldn't. It would probably be something like we're doing tonight.
Okay, easy peasy. Hey, it's rare that things are that easy. All right, thank you. Councilmember Borbo.
Well, I guess I'll ask this in the form of a question, but I had asked, and the city manager informed me that outside of those four populations, we actually in the last several months have served nobody. I mean, literally not a single passenger who fell outside those four categories.
That's correct.
Right, so there really wouldn't be a need to kind of go back to the making it available to the open populace, although, as you said, there probably would be no harm in doing so if they ever removed the fare box penalty provision.
And I just wanted to check. We have four categories here: seniors, individuals with disabilities, school children, and people with low income. Are people able to demonstrate their membership in one of those categories without requiring a lot of heavy certification? I mean, I don't want us to get into a situation where somebody can't get a ride to the doctor to get the note that allows them to certify that they can take to the DVAB, you know, whatever, you know, all of that stuff to show that they're disabled to get the ride to get there.
Right, and we're not under any obligation to ask for, you know, proof of these, you know, somebody that claims to be in one of these categories. Currently, with the discounted rates, we maybe ask, you know, if they have an EBD card for low income or, you know, Medi-Cal card or maybe even a SunCal card. I know Ride-On has some other services that provide specifically for the folks in this category. And, you know, often they will ask for that. But my understanding is there's no obligation for our drivers to ask for proof of any of this. In fact, I believe they really can't ask for any proof, and you take the person's word.
Okay, so if you know somebody doesn't have 3 years' worth of tax returns in their back pocket, we'll still manage to get them a ride. Okay, sounds good.
Any other questions? All right, seeing then, we'll go ahead and open it up to the public. Any member of the public wishing to speak on this item? You can raise your hand in the webinar, or our lively studio audience, if you'd like to come forward, feel free. All right, I'm not seeing anyone, so I'll go ahead and close that public comment, bring it back to council, and ask for a motion.
I'll move that council approve the Tascadero Transit Service modifications as presented by staff.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Bourbeau, a second by, I'll break the tie, Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We will move on to, as always, combining our council announcements and committee reports. And I will go from my left to my right. Councilmember Darris. Well, why don't I start
with
Councilmember Bourbeau?
I'm going to jump in very briefly. The IWMA board did meet and adopt its 23-24 budget, and as part of that did indeed lower the IWMA fee from 5.4 to 4.4%.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. So I had a couple of meetings last week. One was CapSlow, and one of the important things that we talked about there was they're trying to bid on some property to expand facility operations at 40 Prado. There was a $5 million grant that was received. They're allowed to use up to half of that for this expansion, but it has to actually be a successful expansion. In other words, what they're trying to buy is a blank piece of property, but they can't buy it and just sit on it. So it has to be where they can develop it and provide the services that they would normally provide. And so they're in negotiations right now with that. It seems difficult, but I think that there's going to be some success there and a great opportunity, especially for 40 Prado. The other thing was interesting was a safety policies and procedures things for kids at the Head Start programs. There was one child in particular who was, for lack of a better phrase, a bit of an escape artist. either walked off one of the sites or hid, and of course the Head Start teachers they panicked naturally, and they were just afraid what the parents were going to, how they were going to react, and the parents went, oh yeah, he does that all the time, and turns out he had left a couple of other facilities. This is a chronic thing with him. So that prompted the Head Start program to implement the safety procedures, and it was really interesting that it was so well thought out. With they created zones and realized that there's areas, you know, like say underneath the desk like this, where kids can hide, and really understanding where all the kids can go and how they can keep everybody safe and keep them on the facility. And anyway, that was implemented, that was voted on and implemented, and it was I think a really great thing that the staff put together for that. So that was very interesting. The other meeting I had was APCD. A couple things we dealt with there that were important. First, we adopted the fiscal budget for 23-24. We adjusted the CO, Gary Willey's contract to keep him through 2025. And then there's a Blue Whales, Blue Skies program, which I had never heard about, but apparently it's implemented north and south of us for shipping lanes, for large cargo ships, trying to keep them under 10 knots, where they typically go anywhere from 12 to 18 knots, depending on the type of carrier that they are. The reasons for that is emissions. noise control in the oceans because it affects, of course, the whales, the safety of the whales, et cetera, et cetera. And basically all they're asking for is APCD's support of that program and to make sure that the ships that pass by us as much as 50 miles off the shore, that they comply with that, with these, with this request. It's a voluntary vessel speed reduction, as they call it. But I think it's a great program, and you know, there's no reason why we shouldn't support it. I think it's good for the environment, good for the whales. And if the ships are gonna run more efficiently, even a little bit slower, then I think it's good for them as well. And it seems to be by most of the ships there, they've complied with it. Most of them do actually run at 10 knots. I'm surprised that they would almost cut it in half, but they seem to be happy with it, and it's all worked out. So that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
Yes, I had a meeting last week of the HSOC Executive Committee, Homeless Services Oversight Council, and one of our big points of discussion was to do some reorganizational, we're gearing towards reorganizing our committees because it's a Brown Act Committee Council with three Brown Act committees reporting to it, and we're looking to see if we can't do some streamlining and still get the kind of reporting that we need and the very engaged oversight of implementation. And then there was a fair amount of celebration over a number of things, including our very first project approved by the governor for $13.2 million under the Encampment Resolution Fund. This will be a project that will put 36 units of permanent supportive housing and 24 units of bridge housing together. Did I get that right? It's an 80-unit project that will be sitting on what is now a barely used parking lot at the Department of Social Services in San Luis Obispo. So, and we are coming to appreciate that these arrangements all need a package of folks involved. So the provider is Good Samaritan Shelter, who will be doing the human side of things. They are active in Santa Maria and are coming up here to this county. The developer's Dignity Moves. It'll be done with Life Arc housing modules, which is essentially the Lego of the modular housing world. So it's exciting. Paso Robles has some eyes on that approach too. And funding is through the Encampment Resolution Fund from the state and the city of San Luis Obispo, and Caltrans and the county are all very actively supporting the project. So, and the this move is going to move at speed. They have to spend half the money by next June, which means that a basic, and it includes 2 years of operations, which means that you have to basically have all of it constructed by next June. They plan to be moving the first people into the bridge housing portion of it in October. So it's exciting to see steps moving forward in our countywide plan. Thank you.
Newsom.
Thank you. League of California Cities is resuming our Zoom meetings. We're going to have one on Thursday. Topic of discussion will be homelessness. So that's all I have to report.
Thank you. I had my countywide mayor's meeting in Arroyo Grande just recently, and we did have a presentation from REACH on the HIP, the housing infrastructure plan, but it's something that I've reported on previously, and we will have a full report on that to council in a couple of weeks, so I will refrain from going further on that, so you'll be hearing much more soon. Dave Mullinex from the League of California Cities did tell us that we've been a little disappointed with CSAC, which is sort of the county version of the League of California Cities, as they are continuing to push forward with the, we've talked about here, the at-home, that accountability piece, and really pushing the idea that cities should be funding, not just siting, but funding shelters. And the unfortunate part is that they've kind of pulled out of some meetings with the League and haven't been as, maybe forthcoming in working together. So we're hopeful that that will change, but there were just some odd things going on, and we are looking to kind of come together and start having more conversations. Supervisor Paulding was at that meeting,
And so I think Dave and he are going to be talking and kind of bringing that. Of course, Supervisor Gibson is going to be the head of CSAC next year. So, you know, he's been very involved in that. And I'm sure he knows where we're coming from, and we want to make sure to keep that dialogue open. On that homeless front, I have been having conversations with Wendy Lewis, and I know they're talking to the county with from ECHO to look at some funding for services at the facility that they're expanding in Paso. So that is really exciting, too. So a lot of things happening on that homeless front. With that, I will ask if there are any individual determinations. I don't have any in the agenda, but if there are any individual determinations. All right. Countdown. One meeting left, Rochelle. Meeting adjourned.